Hello, I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. An Indigenous singer-songwriter says music created by artificial intelligence lacks the type of soul you can feel when you use real musicians.
But if you wanted to create something that speaks to the human experience and the human, journey, then, just using AI, there'd obviously be something really missing from it because it doesn't speak to that. It's just being generated. So, yeah, it doesn't really have the same feeling or spirit to it.
That's Karareg musician Gloves. A report from the Australasian Performing Rights Association has found 89% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander musicians believe AI has the potential to cause cultural appropriation. Other findings found that 82% of Australian and New Zealand musicians believe AI could lead to them no longer being able to make a living from their work. A world-first study has found around 24% of Australian people live in areas that are classified as childcare deserts. Victoria University defines a childcare desert as an area where there are 3 children per childcare place. Some areas had as many as 13 children per childcare place. The study has also found that 700,000 people live in areas with no childcare. Snake CEO Catherine Little has told the ABC while it's a major issue for regional and remote areas, there are also childcare deserts in metropolitan areas.
What a lot of people don't know is you can also see them in metropolitan areas. And again, those metropolitan areas, particularly for the Indigenous population, where we don't have enough services or enough appropriate service delivery. And that's one that is often invisible when we talk about things like childcare deserts. And again, one we should have front and centre because there are elections coming up. And we did hear Jason Clare just the other day speak to the Minister for Education, say, listen, what we're seeing is the colour of your skin is determining what the quality of your education looks like. It is time to back in a universal early education and care system.
The Greens say new laws to place the construction division of the CFMEU into administration are rushed and lack appropriate safeguards. The union has been accused of intimidation and infiltration by criminal organisations. Federal Greens leader Adam Bandt told the ABC, while violence in the workplace is unacceptable, the legislation hands too much power to the government.
We've got strong institutions in this country. We have strong law enforcement agencies and courts. There has to be a serious case made for deviating from that. And in this rush legislation, we're really worried that Labor and the Liberals have made some serious mistake.
Long-awaiting US talk show host Phil Donahue has died at the age of 88. From the late 60s, Donahue hosted more than 6,000 episodes of his self-titled daytime talk show and was seen as a pioneer of the audience participation format. Speaking in 2001, Donahue said it took almost 20 years before similar daytime talk shows emerged.
It took a long time for anybody to either copy us or try to challenge us with what we were doing. First of all, there was a real anxiety about our format. Who are we? What is this? It's not interesting visually. Wait a minute, it's not Hollywood, it's nothing we're familiar with. And so for all those years, we had the street all to ourselves.
We'll have more coming up next.
Hey mob, it's Murray from The Curry, Trendy Trev here. Join me on Talk Black, weekday mornings from 11 a.m. Queensland Murray time for an hour of good yarns, talk back and more. Talk Black Mondays through to Fridays on the National Indigenous Radio Service. Too deadly, you mob.
To sport, and heavyweight boxing legend Mike Tyson and YouTube personality turned boxer Jake Paul will step into the ring on November 15 after the last date was postponed. The original July 20 bout was postponed due to a health issue Tyson experienced, which he says was an ulcer flare-up while on a flight from LA to Miami. The upcoming bout will be an officially sanctioned heavyweight fight, meaning the outcome will go on both fighters' official records. Paul has had 10 fights with 1 loss and 6 knockouts, although there's been a lot of criticism about the quality of his opponents. Tyson has 58 official fights with 50 wins and 6 losses. 44 of his wins were via knockout. However, Tyson's last official fight was in 2005. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit IndigenousBowelScreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Did you know that drinking any alcohol while you're pregnant can harm your bub? It's hard to stop drinking, but if you choose to drink alcohol while you're pregnant, it can leave your bub with all sorts of problems that can last their whole life. Remember, pregnancy and grog don't mix. If you need to yarn about it, visit your local Apunipamai Clinic and Wellbeing Centre. We're here to help. Our health and our bubba's health is in our hands.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev. Going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidindji country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, two deadly. Going to catch up and have a yarn out with the deadly sister. We're talking Melissa Anderson, the founder and managing director of Black Diamonds Women Empowerment. And a very good morning to my sister. Melissa, how are you?
Yeah, thank you, Bala Trev, and thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, so Melissa Drummond Anderson. So my mother's country is Nawagi, around Goorumbal Borough, which is the traditional name for Townsville in North Queensland, and her country is between Townsville and Ingham. The tribal boundary starts from north of Rolling Stone.
Yes.
And it travels all the way up to Lucinda, and taking in the eastern side of Mount Spec, which includes Paluma and Little and Big Crystal Creek.
Okay.
And my father's mob are from Mubbie O'Gallan up at Zenith Cairns, which is the Torres Strait region, and also have links to Wutathi tribe, Cape York region, and back to Samoa as well.
Okay, beautiful. Fruit salad. Colourful.
Fruit salad, colourful. Yeah.
Too deadly. My sister.
Better than being plain old Australian, eh?
Yeah, thank you. Don't go there. No, that's right. No, let's go there.
Yeah.
Too deadly. Now, who is Black Diamonds Women Empowerment?
That's me.
That's you.
That's me. So Black Diamonds Women Empowerment basically started during my third domestic violence relationship, where I designed the concept around how can I best support our First Nations sisters, you know, to empower, inspire them, and give them the tools, tips and advice and support on how they can improve their overall health and well-being after surviving domestic violence.
So we're talking survival, but we're also probably talking about stamping out domestic violence too, aren't we?
Yes, yeah. So I established the business in 2017, back in Townsville once I returned home, you know, to basically start my healing journey, being raw out of DV. And I had this fire burning in my belly, you know, what can I do? What can I do? What is my other purpose in life? And I felt that that was my other purpose that was handed to me spiritually, but also witnessing a lot of our sisters endure abuse over many, many years since I was a child.
Yes.
So I wanted to do something to help give back, to stamp out domestic violence within our Black communities.
Okay, and so with Black Diamonds, Women Empowerment, it has become a business entity as such, but it's become a vehicle in regarding supporting women who've had domestic violence put upon them, but also help promoting to stamp it out, mm-hmm. domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So tell us how you drive this vehicle and what stakeholders are at the table or your joint ventures with this vehicle in regarding creating a safe space for our sisters.
So going back to, I guess, designing the concept, I was actually, I attended a mainstream women's empowerment workshop here in Cairns, actually, and that inspired me, I guess, because I was the only black woman in the room. So looking around, seeing all these these Migloo women sitting in the room with me, and I'm the only black woman there. And I was thinking, there's something wrong with this picture.
Thank you. Well, domestic violence is on black women as well. And how come there's only one black woman in that that conference?
So I was actually inspired by the facilitator at that time. And I was thinking, how can I do something similar but give it a twist, meaning how can I make my work impactful? You know, where I can transform lives in the way where we're educating and empowering our women so much so that they don't end up back in the horrible DV situation or, you know, reverting back to, you know, what they know, what they're used to or what they think that they deserve.
Yes.
And so with Black Diamonds, we created and designed the business around delivering mini empowerment workshops and also themed events and also women's weekend retreats, which is coming up in June. And, I'll share those details with you shortly.
Yeah, lovely, yes.
I guess I didn't want to become another DV support service. I didn't want to become a not-for-profit, you know, where I'm constantly relying on government handouts. So Black Diamonds Women Empowerment is a profit-for-purpose, you know, that social impact, entrepreneurship business, private, self-funded.
Yes.
And the reason why I designed it that way was to also demonstrate to our black communities, but also our sisters out there, you know, and role modelling that. You know, you don't necessarily, if you're wanting to enter into business, you don't necessarily have to rely on government handouts.
Sure.
So it's about demonstrating and breaking that intergenerational cycle of welfare and poverty.
So I'm picking up a platform for black women to be successful in all aspects of life. And if they're successful in all aspects of life or part of aspects of life, building to all aspects in life, then it empowers them to be strong and stand up. And domestic violence was way back there behind them. And we've got a clean slate moving forward and the vision of our future.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah.
That's what I'm picking up. Yes.
Yeah. So I honestly believe that we know the solutions.
Yes.
You know, grassroots level, community level, we know the solutions to our issues, to our problems.
Yes.
And we cannot continue to rely on government, you know, to solve those problems for us. And look, we hear all the time, you know, the closing the gap is getting wide, it's widening. So what are we doing as a people, you know, to help close those gaps for us, you know? So it's about us stepping up, rising up, and taking our initiative, our responsibility to address those. And and that's what I'm demonstrating through Black Diamonds Women Empowerment. So through my workshops, I'm not your typical workshop facilitator, so I've designed my work in a way that's different, that's impactful. So it's about creating those experiences and encouraging our women to step out of their comfort zone. And through my themed events, it's about creating those new experiences where they can walk away feeling more empowered, feeling like they're back in control of their own lives and feeling stronger. Not so much physically, but mentally and emotionally too. And so that's really important for me. But what's more rewarding and what feeds my soul and my spirit is when I see a sister transform for the better.
Beautiful. Goosebumps here.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I've got a few success stories.
Of course,
I don't know if
we've
got time for me to share one of those.
Yeah, no, by all means. To our Deadly listeners out there just tuned in, Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, with your Deadly program, National Talk Black. And I'm here having a Deadly yarn with a beautiful sister, Melissa Anderson, a founder and managing director of Black Diamonds Women Empowerment. So we're talking about this space and the work that she does. She herself being a victim of domestic violence three times over, has now created a space to empower our sisters out there who've been through domestic violence, and also a vehicle to stamp out domestic violence. Melissa, back to you, my sister, in regards to this space, but this to me also becomes a platform for young girls who are, if not coming out of high school, or about to step into their adult world, about the signs to look out for in regarding domestic violence. And I feel that this vehicle can also create that space too in regarding empowerment, yes?
Yeah. That's right. And it's all about education, right? And it's about equipping, I guess, our young people, especially our young girls, equipping them with the tools, and giving them that ongoing guidance and support, but also to look out for those red flags.
Yes.
You know, if they do pop up, which majority of the time it does, and if they don't have the maturity, to identify those red flags themselves, they could end up, going off track, or, just getting so involved in the relationship, they find it hard to get out of because they don't have the coping. They may not have the coping skills or the know-how of how to do that. So I think it comes down to education.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. You mentioned a couple of successful stories about our sisters who come out the other side running with your program. Mm. Share one of those stories, please, sister.
Yeah, thank you. So a lot of my themed events that I've designed vary. They vary in prices, but also vary in impact and content and delivery. So this one success story I'm happy to share with our listeners this morning is, and just to protect her identity, I won't mention her name or where she comes from.
Yes.
This one sister came in with another cousin sister of hers, came into one of my glamorous events, which is around self-care, self-love. And it's about encouraging our sisters to make that time, take that time out for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And just making them feel beautiful, especially our women that have been just battered.
Yes.
Who've been beaten up on a daily basis.
And they can't see any light at the end of the tunnel.
Can't see any light. And sadly, there are some of them that think that they deserve to be mistreated like that on a daily basis.
Sad. They've been conditioned that way in their mind, heart and spirit, which is very sad.
Yes. Mm. So we collaborated with this other sister. And see, the reason why I've created this platform initially is to also encourage our other sisters in business to come on board, and so Black Diamonds can promote their services.
Yeah.
Because if they're not getting the clientele through their door, they can use Black Diamonds' platform to ramp up.
That's a 12-pronged spear.
Yeah. I love it. Look, I encourage it. I support it. It's just amazing to see a lot of our, it's a growing trend. I'm noticing, there's more First Nations entrepreneurship businesses being created across the country, which is awesome to see.
Mm.
Going back to the story, so their sister came in into the hair salon and you could see that she was battered because she walked in with her head down.
Yep.
And when I looked at her, I thought, yep, she needs my help.
Mm.
So throughout that session, which went for about 6 hours, and so we had set up little stations where our women would rotate around, during that time where they would go and have their hair shampooed and conditioned and treated.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would have a facial done, and a foot
massage
at each station
getting their beautification done.
Oh, yeah, self-care.
But there's conversations in their mental journey and in the conversation that's going on about the clean slate tomorrow and the future looks good.
Yes.
Yeah?
So in between all of those workstations, we'd have self-reflective activities, but it's about creating a culturally safe space where our women feel welcome. They can come in, And if they feel comfortable enough, they start opening up.
Yes.
You know, and start sharing their stories. And so we do that through self-reflective activities. Mm. But we also make it fun. So it's about making it fun.
Yes.
Yeah, so
safe space, as you mentioned.
Safe space. Mm. So I was watching this one sister. She stood out to me. So we had about 12 of our First Nations women that attended our event that day. But I was watching this one sister.
Mm.
And I was really concerned about her because her body language, like I could tell that she... you know, had been beaten up.
Mm.
You know, she had no self-confidence. She looked very unhappy, you know, wasn't smiling or anything like that.
I applaud her, the fact that she attended.
Yes.
Let's do
that. Which was a big step for her.
Yes.
And so came in. She made her way around to the different workstations. So and we also had facials done and we put on drinks and nibblies and then we did the different activities. And then... so when she came around to the last workstation was where the hairdresser was styling all of the women's hair.
Mm.
So I said to her, I said, sis, can you just cover up the mirror because I don't want our women to see how you're styling their hair. Mm. And then once you take that cover off the mirror,
okay,
then it'll
That's
be like
powerful.
A oh, yes.
Here's the new me.
Here's the new me.
Wow.
All refreshed.
I've got
know?
Goosebumps. You want goosebumps? And Murray got no hair. Murray got no hair.
So, and it was just amazing. Mm. If you were in that room and witnessed the transformation.
Mm.
So the sister come around now and she was having her hair styled.
Yeah.
And then I said to the hairdresser, I said, sis, can you just take that cover down off the mirror?
Mm. Yep.
And when she saw, when she looked at the mirror and she saw how beautiful she looked and how her hair was styled.
Yes.
No good. She made us all cry, brought tears to our eyes.
Shut your mouth.
You know what she said to us? She said, I have never had my hair styled like this before. But to think that a grown woman has never walked into a hair salon, especially for our you know, our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander sisters out there who don't feel comfortable walking into like a mainstream hairdressing salon.
Yeah.
You know, so she made us all cry when she when she said that.
Yes.
And so, but to witness that.
Mm. Exactly.
You can't put a value.
You can't put a value on that.
Can't put a value on that. So this sister, she came along to some other Black Diamonds events that we put on.
Yep.
And to watch her grow.
Yes.
To watch her grow has just been amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know her story before she came in.
Yeah, of course.
But as I got to know her over time, she was a victim of DV over a 20-year period.
Mm. Yep. And that's a mental and emotional and spiritual scar.
Yes. Yeah.
That stays within.
Yes.
Stays upon.
Yeah. And her and her husband had a few kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she was living in an isolated area. And she found enough courage to escape that situation.
Yes.
When she moved to a different town to start a new life, she went on to divorce her husband.
Yep.
And then her children were performing more academically at school.
Yeah.
She went on to find a full-time job, got a brand new car.
Yeah.
But to know
yes.
that after attending my Black Diamonds Women Empowerment themed events, that has helped her on her journey.
Yeah.
So I'm just part of their journey. You know,
powerful.
know that my little bit of contribution that I'm making in their lives, maybe something small, but it's insignificant.
Big time.
Yeah.
And look, we've all got a pass. Don't mean we have to live there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and as I said, tomorrow and your future is a clean slate.
Yep.
And we can design our life how we see fit.
That's right.
I congratulate you, my sister. Beautiful yarn. Black Diamonds. You got a webpage?
Yes, I do. So it's Black Diamonds, B-L-A-Q, Diamonds, W-E.com.au.
Okay, Black Diamonds, WE, and the WE is standing for Women Empowerment. Okay. Mm-hmm. So all one word, all the W's, Black with the B-L-A-Q, Diamonds with the S on the end, W-E, one word, .com.au. Do check that out. Get in touch with Melissa and let's use this vehicle to empower our Black sisters out there who have been through domestic violence. And also this vehicle is a vehicle to stamp out domestic violence. in all facets. Yeah.
Yep.
To Dilly, my sister, lovely yarning with you.
Thank
we're
you.
Going to keep in touch and so you can talk about up and coming events for
yes.
our sisters out there. But for your mob out there, do check out the Dilly webpage. Black Diamonds represent Melissa Anderson. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, stay beautiful, and we'll talk soon, sister.
Thank you.
To Dilly. Beautiful yarn there with Melissa Anderson, founder and managing director of Black Diamonds Women and Empowerment. And look, do check it out. Beautiful stories there. And that's what it's all about. Girls can do anything. And in regards to the domestic violence that's happening out there, it's got to stop. Stamp it out. And I say to my brothers, as a man, a black man, I say to my brothers out there, that is not a warrior platform. If you want to be a true warrior in the 21st century, it's about being the best you that you can be and also inspiring and supporting and loving and respecting our beautiful sisters out there. That's what it's all about. You can have your say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Don't forget, we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your Yindingi country at BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out to the NERS team, but stay tuned. Your daily program, National Talk Black, too deadly.
Doing you, Mom. You're listening to the smooth sounds of Kawal G and my brother Jamal Yami from the Naughty North. You know that didn't come no alpha. He got his damn foot up on your neck, Daddy.
Cause my jig is gonna bash in the dark. Some blacks done turn fashionable. Rich in a solar culture, but you know that this don't equal cash in a vault. Saturated with some dumb dogs, killing with no gun though. All these rappers, they are unknown. So tragic, toe tagging all them dundos. Put the money on the rack, shit, I cut my body soul with that blood magic. I ain't on no straight and narrow, but a bullet's cutting edge, looking so jagged. Bella, I'm stumped, what a pinko rule the world that I love. OD. These
crackers, crackers in the mission, now we march across the city limits.
Prisons quicker than our kids can even finish school. West Papawaki independence with our influences from these ministers in charge. Cut me root off up and acting sinister. Super hunters, that's a move to spin and chill. Who this in the way off of them in ways? Curve with a KKK. Amen. Cut the city off. I'm in a stuck. Fighting back with them black businesses that I've invested. Tell them gubbins, I got off of them in questions. What my elders died before they pensions. Couldn't stomach truth and why ingest it. Love a lover taught me all about who I'ma be. A product of this life is destined.
Blood magic, blood magic. Blood magic,
blood magic. Holy! I told you, go see Tricks Mark down. We're taking you to church. Love ya.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yindingi country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, to Dilly. Now, developed by Garawa and Doc Society, the First Nations Impact Lab is an annual program unlocking the impact potential of 8 Indigenous Australian campaigners, advocates, activists, filmmakers, storytellers, educators, and curators. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Laurie Brannigan Onoto and talk about this fantastic space. We have Laurie on the line. Laurie, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Laurie?
Yeah, my name is Laurie. I live on the lands of the Awabakal people in Mullabimba, also known as Newcastle. My mob are from Bundjalung, and I'm just so happy to be here and yarn with you.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you very much, and big shout out to all your mob. Now, we talked about the First Nations Impact Lab. This is the second one, first one last year, inaugural one. It was a success. We're running again. So just paint the picture. Give us a bit of background, please, regarding First Nations Impact Lab. Thank you, Laurie.
Yeah, so the Impact Lab came about before I started working with the amazing Indigenous company, Garawa, but it came out of a relationship between Genevieve Greaves from Garawa and Holly Pfeiffer from Gulk Society, who they were just really aware of First Nations' inherent ability to create projects with impact. And in fact, I feel like most First Nation projects will have an impact campaign, perhaps, like, without even knowing it.
Yes.
And it's just in our nature to create projects and stories that aim to honour and give back to our communities and our countries. So that's why Garawa and Doc Society partnered and begun developing this program. But Garawa has really, like, led the path in this, and I was really honoured to be brought on just before the lab took place and facilitate with Genevieve Greaves. And it's just an awesome, amazing program that, you know, more than aims to teach people, but to share with mob the ideas that they have these skills within them. Yes. And it's just about bringing that out.
Fantastic. So are we talking about a stage setting, or are we talking about filming, an act as such? Paint that picture, my dear.
Yeah, so it's a really open program. I think that's the beauty of this lab, is it's open to activists and storytellers.
Yes.
Across all different mediums, and we bring them to Wadi Wadi country in New South Wales on a beautiful property to really take the time to dig into whatever their project is.
Okay.
And it's different for different people. Which is really exciting. You know, it can be more of a social media storytelling project, or it can be something more traditional in the way of film and television. And some people, it's more of a writing project. So it's really broad what we do.
So an opportunity for the individual to bring creativity and bring it out on stage, on film, and explore that that area, that platform as such, and then express themselves, and then we share it with the people, yeah?
Yes, yeah, that's the aim. And for different people, their projects are at different stages. So some people, they're ready and raring to go, and then others, they're really more at the early stages of their story. But what they get to do is bring it to mentors who we invite to the program, and we vet and make sure that they're appropriate for the stories that are coming to the lab. And then we unpack them and, you know, give mob the best ideas of how to tackle it, or how to get funding, you know, the best creative approach to whatever they're doing.
So paint the picture regarding last year and how it went, and you had the individuals at the table. Where are they now? What happened? Are they back in, or can they run again? Or paint that picture, please.
Unfortunately, as much as I would love to have the eight mob we had last year back, we are only open to people who haven't attended the program
before.
Okay,
which is good.
To give as many people opportunities to get in with this as possible. It's 4 days on Wadi Wadi country in the beautiful Kangaroo Valley. So, you know, we're in this amazing property that has been gifted to us for the 4 days by Shark Island, who are kind of activist filmmaker.
A big shout out, Shark Island, big shout out.
they feed us proper well as well. So there's that to look forward to as well. And we're also supported by Screen Australia First Nations Department and some of the state agencies. So all of the travel is arranged for the mob who apply. So, you know, if you're coming remote, regionally, anywhere across the country, we have a way to get you to this program, and we will arrange all of that for you. So we really want to take the you know, all the admin out away from the mob so they can focus on their stories. But it is a, it's almost like a short retreat for people to get away from their everyday lives and focus on the story they want to tell.
Fantastic. So, Laurie, applications are now open, and when's the deadline and how do they apply?
The deadline is the end of this week.
Okay.
So Sunday 25th of August. So you want to get on quick, but I will say it's a pretty easy application.
Okay.
The biggest thing is we want you to come with a story and we want you to tell us a little bit about you. And it, you don't have to have credits or, you know, the, it's a very low bar to entry. We just want to know that you have the right kind of story to make the most of this lab and this opportunity.
Mm.
And the way to find the application is to go on Garawa's website. So that's garuwa.com.
Okay.
And then there's a little tab in the right-hand corner that says Impact Lab. And then it will bring you to a page and it has a little Apply Now button and you just apply through that. If computers and applications aren't your thing, you can leave us a note and we can accept your application by phone as well. We want to be really open to mob of all different backgrounds and abilities. So, like I said, the application is not too onerous. It's pretty straightforward. And if you have a story that you're burning to tell that has a strong impact to your community and your country, then please come through and have a look and apply.
Fantastic. And opportunities are knocking on people's door every day. So here we have Garawa knocking. So fantastic. Laurie, thank you very much for sharing. Good luck with it all. Please do keep in touch. And to all our mob out there, if you are keen, it's about looking outside the square. It's about getting uncomfortable to get comfortable. Here's an opportunity for you. Laurie, all the best and big shout out to your team, your mob there, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Two Daily Beautiful yarn there, Laurie Mansfield, and she's a facilitator for this fantastic First Nations Impact Lab. So do check it out, Garawa, GARUWA.com. Do check it out, Google it, have a look at it, and there's applications there. Follow the prompt. Otherwise, give them a call. Either way, and their deadline is this Sunday 25th. So do act upon it. As I said, opportunity knocking on people's door every day. The sad thing is we don't hear the opportunity knocking because we're too busy knocking the opportunity. There it is. It's there in front of you. Make your move, you mob. Two Delhi. This is your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Have your say. Yarn up strong. Delhi number here, 1-800-422-416. You are yarning with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumper Bit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout out NERS, and tuned in. Stay tuned in. National Talk Black, Too Deadly.
Eddie on the track.
Inside, barely fall in love with my body plus my
when I know it's real. I barely get it off my chest, cause I know that what comes next is real. When I feel is when it feels. I don't know if it is real. When he gets it off his chest, I'm always made to second guess if it's real. When he feels.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootchopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootchopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootchopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootchopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootchopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootchopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Foster and Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootchopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now 1-800-422-416.
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. Moon and the stars, they always shine out on that ocean way. And as the lazy wave rolls by, breezes blowing memories. Oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy, somewhere there's sorrow. Out on the sea, it's always the same to me. Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Where the wild, wild Wangai tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place including St. Paul Bay? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Well, I'm from T.I. too. Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Where the wild, wild Wangai tree goes? Are you from Torres Strait? Any place including St. Paul Bay? Any place and just around by Mabio Bay? Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Well, I'm from T.I. too. Are you from T.I.? Are you from T.I.? Well, I'm from T.I. too.
Yes, very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Have you saying yarn up strong? And we go for 1 hour on this Delhi program, and a big shout out to NERS, National Israeli Service, for putting us across the airways. Fantastic. Look, the National Drowning Report 2024 released by the Honourable Anika Wells MP, Minister for Aged Care, Minister for Sport, showed drowning is a persistent and traumatic issue that affects thousands of families, first responders and communities every year. Look, sad, the numbers are up. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Lauren Miller, Senior Research and Policy Officer at Royal Life Saving Australia. Lauren, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. It's very sad, but the numbers are up higher than last year regarding drownings as the National Drowning Report comes to the surface, pardon the pun. Please enlighten us regarding the numbers.
So the National Drowning Report is published by the Royal Life Saving Australia in partnership with Surf Life Saving Australia, and we found that there was 323 drowning deaths that occurred over the past 12 months, and this is a 14% increase compared to last year's. So it's quite sad that we're seeing now more drownings that occurred this year. But we have some, when looking at our report, we have some insights that we've noticed there are trends that are occurring, particularly with those over the ages of 65 years and older.
Yes.
We noticed that they represented over a quarter of drowning deaths this year.
Okay, so when you look at those numbers, 323, too many. We need to bring these numbers down. Is it around summer that it usually happens, drowning?
Yeah, summer is usually our highest. Our highest number of drowning deaths usually occur in summer. This year it was definitely in December. However, interestingly, March was the highest as well, and it's the highest that we've seen over the past 20 years.
Mm.
Like the highest has been in March just for this year.
And so when you talk about 92 adults have drowned, 65 years old drowned was 28% of the total of 92 adults. So those numbers are high. So a message to our elders out there, need to take care, need to, don't go over your limit, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to be aware of our limits, and especially when it comes to the conditions of the water as well, keeping in mind not to go out alone.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we might feel fairly confident in the water, it could be very, It could change, you know, the conditions can change drastically.
So if we're talking 92 adults and there are 323 drowning, so all the rest are children?
All the rest are usually, well, mainly between 25 and I would say 44. Children, however, on a lighter note, there were 15 children under the age of 5 that drowned this year. This was down by 25% compared to the 10-year average. So this is good.
Yeah.
However, we really want to make sure we're supervising our little ones.
Mm. Yeah, so we tend to get lackadaisical, especially when we're around families or partying and having a good time, because water is a draw card for entertainment and having a good time. But it can be vital in regard to detrimental, the liquid, in regard to safety and the life of a person.
Absolutely. I also wanted to take note of this really interesting point that we ended up finding is that drowning rates are actually increased tenfold from age 10 to age 20, and it's, which is likely due to the increase in risk-taking and the lack of swimming, water safety, and life-saving skills. So it's just really interesting that from the ages of 10 and all the way to 20, it just drowning astronomically increases.
Drowning rates increase at ages 10 to 20, you're saying? Due to
increasing
risk-taking.
So between age 10 to 20... it increases like tenfold.
And we're talking risk taking there, a lack of swimming or water safety. Diving in or not thinking or doing somersaults, that sort of stuff, because people are vibrant at that age between 10 and 20. And if we're not careful, like I said, it can cause death.
Correct, exactly, which is something we really want to, prevent.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, fantastic regarding the fact that we're talking about it. It should be talked about, and we need to be not lackadaisy around water. And we're talking the ocean, we're talking creeks, we're talking swimming pools, backyards, rivers, all the above. Yep.
46% occurred at coastal locations. So this basically included beaches, which were the highest locations. They represented over a quarter of drowning deaths at coastal locations.
Yeah, well, the heat is on. It draws us to the water. We need to be very, very careful and lackadaisy. Like I said, we're talking about partying, entertainment, what have you. Is alcohol a factor?
Absolutely.
It is.
Which is why it's crucial to avoid alcohol and drugs when around water. Absolutely.
Lauren, thank you for sharing. Look, it needs to be talked about. And actually, we don't want to be talking with you on radio every year, We can talk about the beautiful women's swimming spots, because there's no drowning, and point them out. But, when we're talking numbers and statistics, it is very sad. But thank you very much for sharing, Lauren, and we are having this conversation. It just enlightens, sheds light on the conversation, sheds light on being alert, being aware, and let's not be lackadaisical. Thank you, Lauren.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All the best. You take care, and we'll yarn soon, Lauren.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Deliane, Lauren Miller, her name is Senior Research and Policy Officer at Royal Life Saving Australia. Yes, we cannot be lackadaisy, you mob. It is very sad. 323 drowning in the last 12 months. Very sad. And that's 14% higher than last year, which 278. So there's more drowning than it was last year, but there shouldn't be any drowning whatsoever. We need to take care. As Lauren pointed out, 92 adults, 65 years or older drowned. That's 28% of the total. The largest number ever. So that's sad. And 15 children under the age of 5 drowned. So that is very sad. And this was down 24%. So the numbers are down there, which is great. But it's still a loss of 15 people. So, look, very sad. Let's not be lackadaisy and be alert. And, watch the alcohol, the drinking, the partying around water, around the beach. Be alert, and especially with our children, it only takes a second. Keep your eye on them. Close the gate, It's very important. But look, have you say, you mob, add to the conversation here. This is National Talk Black, Yana with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Big shout out, NERS, your daily program, National Talk Black, too deadly.
positive vibration. It makes me feel so good to know that reggae, he's there for me.
Number one, come on.
You make me dance to your song.